Welcome to Playing Full Out. I'm your host, Augie Bylot, and this is where we explore success, fulfillment, and the power of purpose. Each episode is dedicated to meeting and learning from people who not only make money, but make a difference. Whether it's lifting others, providing access to services, or whatever their passion happens to be, we're believers in the concept of enlightened wealth, success that serves others. Now, I have three primary mantras: play full out. Second, the T principle. That's all about taking effective action, not just being busy, but being productive. And finally, service and gratitude is more than a platitude. And on these podcasts, you're going to meet some amazing people from all walks of life. And today, our special guest is Josh Bell. Welcome, Josh.
Oh, wonderful to be here.
And Josh is a CPA and a business owner, an entrepreneur, and he works with folks in all kinds of businesses, but a lot of them are in the real estate space. So we're really glad to have you today. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do to work with your clients?
Sure thing. The firm started in about 1998. I've been doing this for quite a few years. Over the last couple of years, my firm has hockey sticked quite a bit. And I would say probably about 80% of our clients are in the real estate space in some form or fashion. Might be an individual that might have a few single family rentals all the way up to clients with some pretty large portfolios. And they range everywhere from businesses that pretty much focus on your fix and flip model all the way to those with large commercial holdings, hotels, et cetera.
Awesome. So when you hear the word success, what does that evoke, you know, in your mind, Josh?
Well, I think success is almost a unique concept for each individual. Individual needs to kind of look at themselves and determine what does success mean to them. So for myself, I really try to live my life by biblical principles. You mentioned passion, and I think of the word compassion, and a principle that comes out of scripture, and some have compassion making a difference. And I think that for all of us, we need to find out what that difference is. Primarily, first of all, starting our own homes, being the leaders that we should be in our own homes for our spouses, and for our children, and that should be our primary legacy. And then looking outward into those that we have the opportunity to work alongside and in the communities that we serve.
Okay, I like that you use the word legacy. I'm a big proponent of not just leaving a legacy, but living your legacy. And what would you say is the biggest factor that's helped you to be successful? Because I like the term you use, hockey stick. You know, some folks might not be too familiar with that. So if you want to give a little bit of an explanation of that too, that would probably be helpful.
Sure thing. And a lot of times, well, first of all, I think the reason a lot of businesses fail, and regardless of in the real estate space or anywhere else, is due to lack of experience. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, we know most businesses fail a great deal, 80-90% plus fail in the first 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people aren't willing to kind of stick it out, to be patient. To kind of work through those initial years, many times that you're kind of figuring things out, so you get to the point of having the experience necessary in order to see success in your business, financial success in your business. So when your business gets to the point where it's kind of just slowly growing to the point that you really start to see it escalate, and that's at the point that when you kind of if you picture a hockey stick in your mind, it's kind of just slowly going up, and all of a sudden it begins to shoot up. And for myself, that didn't really happen until I kind of stepped out of kind of the solopreneur mindset, starting to bring people on, really discovering my niche, my avatar in my business, and then focusing in that area, and then really trying to deliver quality service to my clients.
Yeah, that avatar is such an important concept that I think a lot of people miss in their businesses, because when you market to everybody, you really market to no one.
That is correct.
It's finding out who is your ideal client. You know, just like in the investment space, we're looking for motivated sellers. We're looking for people that have a need rather than simply a want. We're trying to find somebody who's got a problem or an itch that, you know, a problem we can solve, an itch we can scratch to get them what they need sooner, because anybody can do a conventional transaction unless, of course, they can't. And those are the people that need the investor community 9 times out of 10.
Yes, sir.
So how has your faith, you know, help lead you on this path of, you know, towards success? And also, how did it support you, you know, from crumbling when you've met challenges? I'm sure every entrepreneur I've ever talked to is, you know, they've got their war stories and challenges that they've faced and overcome. And many times their faith has been a support in that situation.
Sure, and I grew up in a household with parents who really kind of instilled a lot of principles, faith-based principles in my life. And then through the years, really have kind of focused on studying a lot and trying to figure out, because we hear a lot, if you go to a church, regardless of what type of church you may go to, if they use, you know, scriptures, you'll hear kind of teaching that comes from different direction. But many times you don't hear a lot of teaching as it relates to the business. And even sometimes, as it relates to life, when I went to college, I remember getting asked a question by a professor one time as far as, where do you find yourself struggling in school? And I said, well, when I go to a college, when I sit in most classrooms, and sometimes even when I, sometimes in churches, they may teach you how to make a living, but not necessarily how to live. Because in business and in life, we're going to run into those walls to where we're gonna find ourselves struggling in some areas. And to where are we going to turn? And for myself, it's always turning back to that faith element, understanding that I'm not doing this just for me. I'm just not doing this for a dollar. I'm doing this for a cause and a purpose greater than myself. And many times that provides the motivation to keep going. Then also to understand as a believer that I have Lord and Savior Jesus Christ alongside with me that's going to help get me through those barriers and those troubles as well, provided that I lean upon him during those times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think having that source of strength, you know, that spirit that dwells within us, you know, absolutely can do miraculous things. And I've seen it more than once in my own life as well. Now, you've mentioned the idea of habits. What kinds of habits, you know, would you say are your success habits? You know, do you have a certain regimen you follow on a daily basis or a weekly or monthly, or how does that work for you, success habits?
It starts daily, and I'll kind of let you know even this morning. My mornings always start out. I pretty much eat the same thing for breakfast every morning. I'm kind of one of those types of people. So it's, you know, 3 over medium eggs, a piece of whole grain toast, and a glass of milk, and that's my morning, part of my morning routine. Mm-hmm. But alongside that, and even this morning, it was my wife and I sitting there, and we had our Bibles open. And so we'll spend some time in scripture. We'll spend some time in prayer. And that's how our day starts. And so we kind of keep the primary purpose of our life at the beginning of our day. And so not only just food for ourselves, nourishment, but also the scriptural side, the emotional side, making sure that our day starts together. Pretty much every day starts that way. And exercise is huge. So I enjoy lifting. I'm not a big cardio guy, but so I'll get into the gym, and I have a gym in my garage. And so that's a part of my element every day. And I make sure those are taken care of before I get into my work day. And many days it's my cell phone's not even turned on. So that cell phone is sitting somewhere, and it's turned off usually until I'm ready to begin my work day. I make sure I've taken care of the physical and the emotional, the spiritual aspects of my day before I get into the work aspect of my day. And when my day doesn't start that way, I find myself not being as productive, not achieving the level of success that I need to day in and day out. Make sure that family element is there, that scriptural and emotional element is there to start my day each and every day.
Mm-hmm. So spiritual, emotional, and physical with the exercise. So that's covering, you know, kind of the three pillars. On the intellectual side, what kinds of stuff do you like to read?
Well, I enjoy business books, mm-hmm. and reading, I'm not a fiction reader at all. I might read one fiction book every other year. I'm not, but I really enjoy reading business books and leadership books as well. So I'm usually in 2 to 3 books at any given time. I'm a big reader. Usually I read through 1 or 2 books a week.
Okay. And anything that you might recommend right now for folks that are looking to build a
million? Yeah, and this is probably, and I don't know if this will be video or audio or both, so I'll so it's The Richest Man Who Ever Lived. And this here is written by Stephen Scott. And I just finished this up. It's actually sent to me by a head of a mastermind that I'm in, mm-hmm. kind of recommended and sent this over to me, and absolutely phenomenal. So it's based basically on business and life principles out of the book of Proverbs. And it's absolutely tremendous. And I think probably the best book that I've read in a really long time. And it covers both the business element and the personal element, which of course the book of Proverbs does.
Sure.
And it's a tremendous book. I don't even think you can get it on Audible, or I'm not even sure if you can get it on Kindle. I think you actually have to get the book, order the book on Amazon or whatever, but it's an absolute tremendous book.
Well, awesome. Well, see, I like books that are books. You know, I'm not of the audio book and the audible book and all that kind of stuff. I know some people like it because of the ease, you can listen to it in the car and whatnot, but I tend to miss too much. You know, if I'm paying attention to driving, you know, things are going to just get blown by me. So that's pretty neat. So that's one I'll have to definitely pick up. You know, in our process of evolving, we all tend to make mistakes. What would you say might be, you know, a mistake you may have made along the way, and what did you learn from it? Because I think mistakes tend to be good teachers.
Yeah, I think sometimes for myself anyway, the biggest mistake is thinking that that I have all the answers, and I don't need anybody else's help. There is a principle in a multitude of counselors, there is safety or there is security, and that comes out of the book of Proverbs. And I think for all of us, we need a network. We need a group of people around us, both in our business and outside of our business, not just to kind of help us through the day to day, but also to hold us accountable. And I think when we get to the point where we stop to allowing ourselves to be accountable in any area of our life, whether it's in our business, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our areas of leadership, as a parent, whatever the case may be, if we aren't allowing, if we don't put mentors around us, not only to help us, to coach us, to help us kind of get through the day-to-day of our lives. And if we get to the point to where we stop listening to them, we stop relying on them, and even worse, we stop allowing ourselves to be accountable, that's at the point we're going to find ourselves in a world of hurt. And every time when I look back in my life and I see the times that I've made mistakes, it's at the time thinking that I don't need them anymore. I have the answers. I've outgrown them. I'm smarter than them, whatever the case may be. And I stop holding myself accountable.
Yeah, I think that's such a great observation. I lead a mastermind, as I think you're probably aware, and that accountability piece is so important because it's what keeps us human, it keeps us grounded, it keeps us humble, and it should keep us hungry, you know, and not fearing being held accountable. You know, it's when we get so self-centered, to your point, you know, getting the I know it all syndrome, we find out that there's mountains of stuff we don't know, and we end up with problems that we create and struggle to solve because all we have is the capacity that caused the problem. We need the capacity from the outside, the mastermind concept, if you will, to help solve it, to keep us growing.
Yeah, I'm in a couple different masterminds. I know that you're a huge proponent of them as well. And mm-hmm. The beauty of a good mastermind is it's just not, you know, quarterly getting together and kind of presenting your business, your challenges, those types of things. But I know in the ones that I'm in, it's almost daily. It might be a phone call. It might be a text message. It might be whatever. Hey, are you achieving what you said you were going to do? Not just in your business, mm-hmm. but also in life as well. And and so I think for those that are listening to kind of find that group that fits them, that has their core values in mind, that they have their core values are aligned. But get into those rooms to a place where you can find a place of accountability.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. What would you say is the hardest decision you've ever had to make related to your business and growing your business?
I think the most difficult struggle that I had, the decision I had to make, was taking that step on hiring more people. And fear, many times, is the greatest obstacle we have in any aspect of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And either fear can be something that we can use to help motivate us, or it can be an obstacle that will stop us.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, and it was a real struggle. Do I take that step of moving outside of just being a solopreneur into beginning to hire people to assist in the business? And I really struggled with it. And I think two different quarters, I was in front of a mastermind I was in, and I presented this challenge. And they really encouraged me. Josh, just do it. You know, you should be hiring not for what you need now, but for, you know, 6 to 12 months out. And so once I did, and I hired that first person, and I'm hiring another person, and now hiring, you know, and so you end up kind of going through and facing that fear, and then helping, having people kind of help work me through it. But that was the greatest obstacle I had, was moving outside of kind of that comfort zone of just me to bringing people on alongside me to be able to grow the business.
Yeah, I see that with a lot of the folks that I work with too. They try to wear all the hats, and you know, you become a jack of trades, master of none, and you burn yourself out. And it is a fear thing. It's a finance fear of, you know, what if I made the wrong choice, or you know, now I have to start to let go. And I think it sometimes boils down to faith, you know, and you know, trusting that, you know, God gives us wisdom, and we have to trust in that wisdom sometimes, and you know, and continue to move forward, and that is an important thing about growth. What would you say has been your greatest learning to date? You know, we've talked about mistakes and we've challenges, but how about, you know, what's that golden nugget that drives you probably the most, or has served you the best?
Oh boy.
Tough question. I know.
That is a tough question. And as far as motivation, I think it's more or less family.
Mm-hmm.
So my oldest son just graduated from high school, and my youngest is just finished up his sophomore year, and so my greatest motivation is to have something for them. And that doesn't necessarily mean my kids at this point, neither one of my sons really are showing an interest in the business. I'd love to have them in the business at some point they'd like to, mm-hmm. But to try to be able to provide them with the tools that they need, so they can achieve whatever success means for them, and mm-hmm. for whatever the Lord has for them. And so that is at this point kind of what my greatest motivation is. And I think for a lot of us, it's kind of and for myself included, is trying to determine what is that legacy, and to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm getting a little bit older, and you know, not in my 20s, not in my 30s now, and getting my mid 40s, the world looks a little bit different now, and it probably will when I get, you know, a decade or two from now. But really trying to determine beyond just kind of living from day to day, paycheck to paycheck, you know, whatever, to the point of what does legacy mean for myself, and then what are the steps I need to take to be able to achieve it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a role model? In any element of your life? You know, obviously your faith, we understand that, you know, Jesus Christ is key. But if we take it across, you know, maybe the business element of your life and the social element of your life, is there a role model there? Somebody that stands out for you?
Yeah, my, and talked earlier as far as having that multitude of counselors, and my father was always my greatest role model, and still is, even though he passed away about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's still hardly a day goes by that there's something that he said. My dad never did, you know, he barely got through high school, never had a formal college education, kind of blue collar worker, worked in the steel mill, worked his way up through, he was in senior management when he passed away. But I think still day in and day out, there are still things that he, those core principles that he taught me. And I think that honoring our parents, honoring our father and mother, isn't something we do until they pass away, but it's something we do until we pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at my primary role model, it's him. And so kind of wanting to, in some ways, please him beyond just, you know, pleasing my heavenly father, but also pleasing my earthly father, is a huge motivator for me. And that's something that transcends both in life and in business.
Well, I'm sure that reflects really well on your sons as well. You know, your kids. Yeah, I would hope so too. I know my baby just turned 39 last week, so I get it. But every now and then he goes, "Gee, Dad, how'd you get so smart?" You know, because he's starting to see retirement in the offing and planning for that, and it's a different thing. And you know, we do want to help our kids to grow into the people that they're intended to become, yes, no matter what their age. If a new person came knocking on your door just starting out, what's the best advice that you would give them?
Don't try to go at it alone. And I don't, that doesn't necessarily mean you need to go and partner with someone. Sometimes I get you into a lot of trouble when you go out and you begin to partner with people. I spend too many time trying to fix arguments when things don't quite work out. But what I mean is to because a lot of people, when they first get into real estate, for example, they want to go and spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on a course and then try to figure things out. And what I would tell them is, you know what, get people around you that have some experience that are willing to help you. Because there are people out there that are willing to kind of give you good advice. Because there's a lot of people out there, and you see them as well. You know, you'll see these, you know, they're on YouTube or on Facebook or whatever with these advertisements, with these cars and, you know, fast cars and loose women, you know, and all this other type of thing, living this lifestyle. And so they sell them on this concept. Mm-hmm. And what I would tell somebody starting out, you know what, get people around you that are kind of well down the path, find people that are at where you want to be, and then meet with them, have a cup of coffee with them, because most of the time they're givers, and they want to turn around, they want to help that person that's just starting out, and kind of give them some advice. Go and buy them a cup of coffee, spend an hour with them, take a little bit of their time. And glean wisdom from them, not just in their successes, but also in their failures. And because you don't have that experience. Experience is the primary reason why people fail in business. It's just a lack of experience. Mm-hmm. And it isn't the financing. There are people out there you can go to that may want to lend and help you on a deal or whatever the case may be. There are people out there that will want to profit from you. But find those people who are willing to give you the advice that you need while you're first starting out, and get that group that around you that may include an attorney, an accountant, but I think even more importantly, those individuals who are where you want to be and who can give you the practical advice that you need. That you know, hey, you know what, you're not every deal is a win, and you are going to face failure, and this is what you need to do. And so you learn how to fail forward and not completely collapse. Because I've had that as well. People come into my office and they find themselves bankrupt because they try to do a deal. They end up losing a family member's money. You know, they go to dad, mom, whatever the case may be. And, hey, you know, I want to get into real estate. Will you, you know, give me $50,000, $75,000? And mom and dad, they love their kids. So they tap into their retirement account or whatever. And they turn around and they give it to them. And then they end up failing. It ruins relationships and that type of thing. But getting those people around you can give you the wisdom. How do you do this the right way? And go from there.
Now, I think that's a great response. You know, people, we live in this automatic society. Put it in the microwave and your dinner's ready in 67 seconds. And you don't build a successful business, you know, by next Tuesday. It's just not going to happen. But those that are willing to put in the work, and I've observed it in the field of real estate investing, people that don't give up, that do continue to learn, almost 100% of the time succeed. And it's simply because you continue to learn as you go. And I also agree there's a point, you know, at which you should invest in your education, but out of the box, you don't have enough knowledge even to make a wise choice about with whom to invest in your education. Right. And you're right. You know, the guys with, oh, I'm going to buy a jet. Oh, I got my pilot's license. Oh, I got this hot car. You know, yeah, that's pandering to the lowest element. And it's really unfortunate. So it's actually one of the reasons I started teaching in the first place was simply because I saw a lot of guys blowing through town. You know, I'm based in Orlando and everybody in the universe that's got something to peddle blows through here. And, you know, they're here Saturday, they're here Sunday, and they're gone Monday morning. And, you know, you need some foundation, you know, so that you can at least make an educated decision. You know, if you could start all over again, is there anything you would do differently? And if so, what would that be?
If I were to start over again, I think we'd probably to determine what lane I wanted to be in and stay there. So kind of starting off my business, as a lot of businesses do sometimes, if we want to, anytime your phone rings, you know, you want to pursue it. Every opportunity out there, you want to pursue. And I think I did myself a great disservice for many years by doing that. Because you mentioned earlier that that old line, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to figure that out. I can't service well every different type of business out there because I can't possibly know all the accounting rules, all the tax rules for every single every type of business out there. Sure. So now I would say probably 80 to 90% of the phone calls that come in, I turn away.
Mm-hmm.
And simply because, you know, they don't fit exactly what I want and who I want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me way too many years to figure that out. What is my niche? What is, you know, what is my skill set? What am I good at? And what do I enjoy doing? And then staying there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important because what do they call it? The Dory principle, you know, from Finding Nemo. You know, every shiny object, Dory goes this way and that way and the other way. It never quite gets to where Dory wants to go. So avoiding that shiny object syndrome, I think, is good for entrepreneurs to be very alert to because it does. It steals our time. I mean, that's our most valuable resource. What is it that encouraged you to go into the accounting field? I always find that an interesting thing. What, you know, gets people into different niches in life?
Well, when I was in high school, initially I wanted to be an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went off to a law school here locally after I finished up my undergraduate work. But I kind of wanted to be an attorney just kind of reading into it, that type of thing, it really didn't seem all that interesting to me. So I got into college knowing I wanted to get into business, but didn't know into what aspect. My freshman year of college, kind of taking, you know, kind of those couple core business classes, I took Accounting 101.
Mm-hmm.
And had a professor in college at Purdue University that was both an accountant, a CPA, and also an attorney. And mm-hmm. he had retired, but decided to retire into academia. I don't know if any of us really should. I don't think I could ever retire. I get bored after about 45 minutes. I need something to do. So, but his like, hey, I'm retiring. I'm going to go teach. And he wanted to take everything that he had learned and invest it into basically the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he was a phenomenal professor. And absolutely through that class, I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. And I ended up taking everything that he taught. I ended up taking those courses. But it was really a college professor that kind of directed me toward determining, you know, what area of business do you want to go into? And so through that initial class and having some conversation, going into his office and actually requested for him to be my academic counselor and I got to spend some time with him, and he was really the kind of the one that turned the kind of the light switch on and that kind of really piqued my interest in the area of accounting and ended up kind of going after it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, having somebody like that as an inspiration is huge. I know that, you know, there were different people in my life too that helped me choose the paths because there's a lot of forks in the road that we can take, you know, and I always find that interesting to learn how people got into doing what they're doing. Shifting gears a little bit, what's your favorite way to give back? You know, you're a man of faith, and obviously you don't work for money. You've got a much higher purpose.
Yeah, so a couple different areas. Of course, first of all, my favorite way to give back is with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So getting away from the financial, because I'll get there in a second, I guess, but
sure.
As far as the knowledge component of it. And so really, for quite a few years, I really enjoyed it. The high school I actually graduated from, actually trying to help some of those young people as far as the direction in the area that they want to take in life. And still to this day, I keep in touch with many of them. Now I kind of regularly will get together with younger people first starting off in business and try to help and mentor them in some ways. And so they kind of avoid making some of the same mistakes that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really enjoy doing that. And I usually try to take maybe a part of a day every week and do that. But then financially, I'm big on giving back through the local church and then also through missions works. So I have various missionaries throughout the world that I really am passionate about. And it might be in a particular area or a particular, it might be kind of what they're doing. It might be an orphanage, it might be whatever the case may be. But have, but as far as that are in different parts of the world, making a difference in communities that I could never reach. I don't have that calling. I couldn't go to Africa. I couldn't go to Morocco. I couldn't go wherever. I'm too spoiled for that. But there are those who do, and to try to invest in their work. And so in a financial end, that really kind of one area I enjoy giving back, and then getting reports back from them and having dialogue with them and texting them, whatever the case may be, and getting their reports back and saying that, hey, you know, financially you're giving and you're making a difference.
That's great. I'm smiling because I was very much of the same ilk until I got dragged on a distribution trip to a third world country. So I'll extend an invitation to you.
Oh,
and
sure.
Whenever you're ready to say yes, and it doesn't have to be anytime soon, because I was a lot older than you before I did my first. But it's pretty life-changing stuff. And I get a sense of where your heart is, and I really appreciate and respect that greatly.
And my favorite thing I think I do every week is on Saturday evenings, I go into our local county jail.
Mm-hmm.
And, not just beyond just doing a Bible study, but also helping and mentoring there. And so that's kind of something else I do weekly that I'm really passionate about that I love doing as well.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Now, before we wrap up, we have lots of entrepreneurs that will be viewing this. And if you had one or two tips from an accounting perspective, how they might manage or run their businesses better, could you share that to help them play full out more effectively?
Sure. I think going back to the mentorship, don't try to go through, and some mistakes that we see is some people go out and try to set up their own LLCs. They'll try to do their own tax returns. They'll try to do these types of things. I think a lot of times, if you're first starting out, is to have those conversations on the front end to make sure that the foundation is there. So we already talked about earlier as far as finding people that are farther down the road than you are, kind of that are at where you want to be. To have a conversation kind of on a strategic end, but kind of taking that step back also from a tax asset protection, and then beyond that also from a process end. And so to have that dialogue with making sure that your business is structured correctly for tax purposes and for legal purposes, that's going to involve generally your accountant and an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And then that may be an LLC, it might be a trust, it might be whatever it is that you need to do. And to have those people around you to have that dialogue, and to make sure that the person you're having that dialogue with, because everybody kind of has most people have a family attorney. They may be great at setting up wills, but they might not know anything about real estate, for example, and setting up an LLC for real. They might call the accountant that's been doing their taxes for years, but they're no more than somebody who worked at H&R Block that don't know anything about real estate.
Correct.
And to have that conversation with your attorney, with your accountant, hey, what do you know? You know, I'm getting into real estate. I'm getting into wherever it might be. I might be wanting to go and start a daycare and whatever they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that dialogue, hey, how many clients do you have in this space? What do you know about this? And to almost interview them and to have that conversation with them to make sure that you have the right people on your team that's willing to grow along with you and to help you get to that next level.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's great advice, and it's sagely advice, because, you know, we had a CPA in New York many years ago, was great for working with people who worked in corporate America. However, for entrepreneurs, he was not the guy. You know, it just was not his skill set. He had a certain niche where he was really good. You know, I guess it would be, you know, if you're a proctologist, offered you a discount on brain surgery, would you take it? Probably, I would hope not. So same kind of thing here. If you're going to open a business, run a business, get the right kinds of help. And the idea of interviewing, you know, attorneys or CPAs is brilliant, simply because you gave them, I think, one of the best questions you could ask. How many clients like me do you have? And even how many clients like me that are successful, or, you know, that, or that want to be successful, do you have? And what do you do to help them become successful? So, Josh, that's absolutely awesome. And, you know, I always ask one final question. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I failed to ask you, or some piece of information I should have invited you to share, other than your contact information? If, you know, people can reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you? But also, if there's a piece of information you want to share or a question I should have asked, I want to make sure that I opportunity.
I don't know. You mentioned earlier as far as something to do daily. I would say, you know, beyond just kind of what we talked about a little bit about earlier, but learning something every day, to be taking some time each and every day to move yourself forward, to push yourself forward. And, you know, in a day and age now with podcasts and, you know, this type of thing, we should all be spending a lot of time every day, spending some time learning. But I think beyond that, I mean, we kind of touched a lot of topics.
Yeah, we did. We sure did. Well, I thank you so much. And now, do you serve clients beyond your local geography?
We do. We have clients live from Washington State to California to your area, and in Orlando and Miami area. So we have clients all over the country.
So if somebody wanted to get in touch with your offices, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I have a website, but you can find me on Facebook. So Josh Belk, Belk and Associates is my firm. BelkAssociatesLLC.com is the website. So you can reach me through any of those mediums. I have a podcast, Belk on Business Podcast, if you're interested, you can listen to it as well.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Josh. You've shared just a wealth of wonderful and valuable information today. So thank you so much for being here. And to everyone that's watching, always remember, whatever you're doing, you should always be playing full out. Thanks.